Jesus.
Power in the name.
Jesus.
Healing in the name.
Jesus.
Victory in the name.
Jesus. Jesus.
Power.
Jesus.
Healing.
Jesus.
Joy.
Jesus.
In the name.
Jesus.
Whatever you need.
Jesus.
Whatever you need.
Jesus.
It's in the name.
Jesus.
All in his name.
Jesus.
There's no other name.
Jesus.
No other name.
Jesus.
But the name.
Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Jesus.
He can save you.
Jesus.
He can heal you.
Jesus.
He can fill you.
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Help me call him.
Jesus.
Help me call him.
Jesus.
He'll hear your cry.
Jesus.
Answer by and by.
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
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 Jesus. In the morning.
Jesus.
On Monday.
Jesus.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Jesus.
Thursday, Friday.
Jesus.
Saturday, Sunday.
Jesus.
Every day.
Jesus.
Every day.
Jesus.
Help me call it.
Jesus.
Help me call it.
Jesus.
Help me call it.
Jesus.
He'll answer if you call it.
Jesus.
He'll answer.
Jesus.
By and by.
Jesus.
He knows.
Jesus.
Let him hear you cry.
Jesus.
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 I need you.
Jesus.
I need you.
Jesus.
I need you right now.
Jesus.
Right now.
Jesus.
I need you, Lord.
Jesus.
Every hour.
Jesus.
Every day.
Jesus.
When I'm sick.
Jesus.
When I'm well.
Jesus.
I need you.
Jesus.
He cares for you.
For he cares for you.
I'm so glad he knows.
And he knows what you're going through.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you cast all your cares? 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 Why don't you cast all your cares upon the Lord?
Woo-wee. Oh God, have your way. Oh Jesus, have your way in here.
Hallelujah. Something about the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Something happens when we call that name. His name is above every name. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. He's a way maker. He can open doors that no man can close. He can illuminate the darkest night of your life. The darkest moment of your life can be turned to utterly light when Jesus steps in to your situation. Oh, what a name. Oh, what a glorious name. Oh, what a wonderful name. Oh, what a powerful name. What a majestic name. What a marvelous name. What a fantastic, sensational, phenomenal name. Jesus. 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 There is a name. There is a name. Glory to the name. See, that name carries power. That name carries authority and character. So when you do something or proclaim something in the name of Jesus, you're going on the authority and the character of Jesus. Everything that name entails. That name is recognizable in heaven, in earth, and even in hell. That name is recognizable. The name of Jesus. And he's given us his name. He's given us his name. Allowed us the blessed privilege to be baptized in his name. And then given us the authority that whatever we do in word or deed, to do it all in the name of Jesus. What a wonder. What a blessing. What a privilege to use and to have and to be called by the name of Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. I want to today continue in our theme that we started a few weeks ago as it relates to biblical holiness. And we'll take a journey today to get to a stop off place that I hope we get to, but just in case we don't get there, I might as well tell you where I want to get to, okay? I want to get to the place where we wind up on the verse that says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But it's going to take us a little while to get there. All right. So that's in the scripture that we're going to be dealing with. But we might not get to it. Whatever God decides to do is fine with me. Amen. But we're going to start our journey today in Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And we're dealing with, again, our series, Biblical Holiness. And the thought that is on my mind for today is worship the King. Worship the King. And if you look at the book of Psalms, well, the whole book itself, the whole book, different Bible scholars have portioned the book and divided the book under some subheadings. And we're going to look at the 96th Psalm, and we may even look at the 98th Psalm, and those Psalms from 96 on to a few of those Psalms, they are what some Bible scholars call enthronement Psalms. Enthronement Psalms, because they talk about how God is King over the universe, how God is King over everything that he has created. So Bible scholars have coined the phrase for 96, Psalm 97, 98, and a few more after that as the enthronement Psalms. Because again, when you're talking about an enthronement, that lets you know that there's someone sitting on the throne. So it wants to point us to the direction that there's a king that we need to acknowledge. There is a king that needs to be praised. There's a king that needs to be adored. There's a king that needs to be reverenced. And that's God. All right? So God is celebrated, and God is to be celebrated, and needs to be worshiped as the King of the entire universe. Nothing that we see exists without God having something to do with it. He is the creator of the universe. So in Psalm 96, verse number 1, I have the Amplified Version. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." So here we see there's a command to sing to the Lord a new song. And the earth is commanded to sing. So we have to briefly look back and see, just for those who still want to bounce around the idea that all this happened because of some big bang, we have to go to the Word of God and look at the history of God's creation. So briefly, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, I'll read it to you. It says, "And God blessed and spoke good of the seventh day, set it apart as his own, and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all his work which he had done and created." Then verse 4 says, "This is the history of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth." So here Genesis is just letting you know that this was no bang. This wasn't no big bang. God did all of this, and God took his time in his own time. Nobody was rushing God. Nobody was telling God what to create and when to create it. God is an organized God, and he set things in motion according to his own will, but he just had to leave on record, this is the history. God's saying, look, this is how I made this. So if you want to see how all this that you see came to be, just go back and read the Genesis account. This is the beginning of God's creation. So now God in Psalms, the psalmist is saying that we need to sing a new song unto the Lord. We need to, the whole earth needs to sing. And God has fashioned and designed the earth so that even the very elements of his creation can praise God. Even the trees can praise God. See anything that God touches, or anything that God has to do with it, ought to respond to God. And so God can cause the trees that he made, and he can speak to the trees and tell the trees to give me some praise. And then what he can do is he can not only speak to the trees, he can speak to the wind at the same time and say, "Wind, I want you to partner. I want you to partner with the trees. And so I want you to blow on them, and they're going to praise me." So he can tell the wind to blow. And anytime you see a tree, a branch, a palm tree. You got a lot of palm trees out here. Anytime you see palm trees swaying, they're not swaying by themselves. They're swaying because God spoke to the wind and said, "Okay, I need some praise from you elements. Yeah, I know I made you a long time ago, but every now and then God wants to remind us, the human beings who behold the beauty of his creation, that he really deserves praise all the time." So God can speak to the wind and tell the wind, just blow so lightly so they can just see, "Oh, look at the nice palm tree. You see how they're swaying?" Yes, they're swaying, but in fact, they're praising God. Even the very sea can roar. The Bible says the sea can roar. So even the very depths of waters, when God speaks to the sea that he created, He can command the sea to praise him, and the sea can make a sound. You ever been near the water when it was bustling, or you ever been to a great waterfall and you hear the sound of that water and the power that water demonstrates? They're just praising God. They were made to praising God. Anybody got a lawn? If you have a lawn, yes. Why you have to keep cutting it? Because it obeyed the commandment of God in the Genesis account. God said, God told the grass to grow, and grass been growing ever since God said so. Even his very creation, it continually obeys and praises God. So the psalmist said, "Oh, sing a new song. Sing a song to the Lord, all the earth." So everything, even the sun comes up when it comes up and goes down, when it goes down, praising God, the moon, the stars, all of the Bible said in Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. So everything that God has placed in the creation of the universe is giving praise and giving homage and giving reverence to him. Surely his crown and achievement, surely mankind should take a hint from the things that God has decorated his universe with, from the stars, from the elements, from the trees, from the wind, from the water, from all the things that he has placed even for our enjoyment. Surely we can take a hint from those things that God has created, because he didn't create none of them in his image, but he took the time and he was gracious enough to create us, mankind, in his image and after his likeness. So surely we should be able to praise our God. We should be able to praise our God. Verse number 2, he says, sing to the Lord, bless, affectionately praise his name. So when we come in gatherings like this, we should be able to come and sing our hearts out to the Lord. We should bless his name. We should extol his name. This is what the psalmist is trying to let his readers know. We need to sing affectionately. We need to sing lovingly to the Lord. We need to extol his name. We need to lift up his name. And then the other part of that verse, he said, show forth his salvation from day to day. Glory. Hallelujah. Those who have tasted and been recipients of the great salvation of God, we ought to show this forth every day. Our life ought to sing a song to God. We ought to show forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Every single day that God allows us to live is an opportunity for us who have received this great salvation to show forth his salvation from day to day. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in 1 Peter, but you are a chosen generation. I'm so glad that we're chosen. Aren't you glad to be chosen this morning? A royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people that you may set forth. That means show. God's expecting something out of us. He is expecting something out of the very people that he invested everything that he is. God put all of what he is in us when we received salvation. So he said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased possession. Well, he's reminding us that we don't belong to ourselves. He's reminding us that God owns us. He's reminding us that God paid for us. He paid the price. He paid the ultimate price for us, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And why did he choose us? Why are we a royal priesthood? Why are we a dedicated nation? Here's the reason, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God said, I need somebody on display in California. I need somebody in Southern California who will be on display and show how great I am. Show through their lives. Show through their interactions with their families. Show through their interactions with their friends, with their classmates, with their business associates. I need somebody to show the virtues. I need somebody to be on display wherever your circle of influence is. God said, I chose you for this very purpose, that you might give me praise, that you might give me glory, and you might be able to show forth the perfections. Show how perfect God is. Not we, huh? But God is so perfect. God is so wise. Show the perfections of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's a song that we can sing. We don't have a sad song to sing. We don't sing Nobody Knows the Trouble I See. We need to change. Take that off the playlist, if you please. We don't need to sing that. If we have been recipients of this great salvation, that gets bumped off deleted off of the playlist. If you want to add something, you need to add, "I'm so glad trouble don't last always." Glory, hallelujah. Put that on the playlist. We got to show forth. We got to sing. We got a song to sing. Then he said in verse 10, "Once you were not a people." I just remind you that you weren't always, glory to God, you weren't always saved, but once you were not a people at all. But now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy. I'm so glad for the mercy of God. I'm so glad for the grace of God, because if God would really mark iniquity, who could stand? Listen. So this is why the psalmist is saying that we need to sing a new song. We need to sing a song. Ephesians reminds us, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, God's work. Aren't you glad that God's still working on you? Glory, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I need him to work on me. Because I can, listen, if I can see some rough edges, I know God can see some rough edges. Yes, cause, and I can see some rough edges on me. I see some things that need to be buffed out. Glory, hallelujah, in my life. I see some things that need to be filed down with the word of God and polished. Some things need to be just taken out, break it up, and get it out and put some of the good stuff in. Listen, I can talk about my life. You sit there and look like you got it all together if you want to, but I hear the Bible said, if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? I hear the Bible said, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Listen, so I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God. That ought to be a song that we ought to sing. Your grace and mercy has brought me through. We're living this moment because of God. It's not by any good that we have done. It's because God's good, God's kind, God's gracious, God's long-suffering, God's forbearing, that he puts up with the grace of God. The mercy of God is something that we ought to praise God for every moment of our existence, because you and I both know if we would have got what we should have got, we wouldn't have been here. So I bless the Lord at all times, and his praises will continually be in my mouth. We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated. You see that? God made us again, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. I'm so glad to be born again. I don't know what to do. Born anew, that we may do those good works. Listen, God didn't save you just for you to sit down. God didn't save us just to say, okay, I'm saved. I got it made. Now I'm just going to float. It ain't no floating through here. Listen, God has saved us. He recreated us in Christ Jesus. We've been born anew. Why? That we might do those good works which God predestined, which God planned beforehand for us. God said, I saved you so you can do some good works. Listen, I know the stuff that you used to do. I know the evil stuff that you used to do. I knew the stuff that was in your mind, but I saved you, and I cleaned you up so you can do some good works. And these good works are not your works, but they're God's works, because God predestined it. He planned beforehand for us taking the paths which he prepared ahead of time. God said, listen, here's the path. You were walking contrary to God. All of us were, in fact. We were walking contrary to God. We were doing what we thought was our own thing. And God said, wait a minute, I done charted out a path for you. But in order for you to get on this path, see, you got to be born again. And once you're born again, then I'm going to put you on a path that I have already picked out and planned for you. How come my life ain't going like it? I think it ought to be going? The problem is, you doing the thinking. And God already got a plan. So all you got to do is accept God's plan, accept God's salvation, obey God's plan, get baptized, repent, get baptized, get filled with God's Spirit, and then the path. God said, here it is, right here. This is a proven path. How is it proven? Because God said, I walked it myself when I was down here on earth and in the body of Jesus Christ. So all you got to do is follow the path. Walk like Jesus walked. Talk like Jesus talked. Take the path that God has designed for each and every one of our individuals. individuals' lives. Now, our paths may be similar somewhat, but our paths are not exactly the same, because God made us. He saves us. He knows our temperaments and our personalities. He knows our abilities. In fact, he's the author of our abilities. So God gives you what you can handle, and God gives you what you can handle. He gives you what you can handle, and he gives you what you can handle. Still and all, you have no excuse to get off that path, because God has already promised in his word that he will never leave us, neither will he forsake us. So God, I'm going to walk the path that you have plotted out for me. Wait, because God did say that the steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. So I'm going to walk the path. Yes, it seems to get lonely sometimes. It may seem to get difficult sometimes, but I got God's word on this. I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. Call up some of your friends. Sometimes they come up with good reasons why they can't come to your aid. Call up some of our dear family sometimes, and we call them up at an inconvenient time, and they say, baby, I wish I could, but right now I'm in a tight. God ain't never in a tight. Glory, hallelujah. There is never an inconvenient time for God to be concerned with each and every one of our individual needs. Look at the greatness and the awesomeness of our God. All of us can push our emergency button to God, and God won't drop one call. Hallelujah. His ear is open unto the cry of his people. God can tend to your need and our need and all of his people's need at the same time, and not diminish in his attentiveness and his care for every last one of us. Who would not praise a glorious and a majestic God like that, who is concerned? We sang, cast all your cares, and yet we can really do that. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's a reality. Every last one of us can take all of our problems, take all of our cares, take all of our heartaches, take all of our situations in a bucket, if you will, and throw them at God, and God won't let not one of them drop. Glory, hallelujah. God has so much power. God can just let him sit there in his own space and look at the problem and hold it in suspended animation, if you will. God can do that. Yes, he can. And walk around the problem and look at it. It's still hanging there. And the problem can't get any worse unless God said, okay, you can do a little more. But when God gets ready, he can tell the problem, be gone. Woo, glory. That's all they have to do is tell that problem, be gone. Problem in your life. Problem in my life. Problem in your family's life. In your children's life. God, oh, listen. This is the same God who spoke the universe into existence. So if this God, since this God has the power to speak the universe into existence, surely he can speak our problem out of existence. Glory. No wonder the psalmist said, sing a new song. Glory. Hallelujah. I can sing to God because he's the ultimate problem solver. And when God gets ready to dismiss my problem, he won't even have to touch it. All he got to do is speak to it and say, go. Glory. Hallelujah. When God can speak to a sickness and say, go. And the sickness has to obey God. The sickness won't say what you say. He heard God the first time. When God said, go, you got to go. We used to sing, you got to move when the Lord gets ready. So everything got to move when God tell it to. Glory. That's why we can sing. We can sing a song of praise. We ain't got no business singing a sad song in the face of our glorious God. We ain't got no business singing the woe is me in the face of this glorious, all-powerful God. He said, sing a new song. Sing a song of rejoicing. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God wants us to sing. Why? Don't forget, we're on display. The world is looking at us, and the world sees what we're going through, and they're sitting back with their arms folded. Well, how's she going to react to this? What are you going to do with that one? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Yes, the devil might think he got me bound, but guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to sing a song of deliverance. And if I sing a song of deliverance from my heart, the devil going to have to back up when God say, all right, that's enough. He done proved his faithfulness. She done proved her faithfulness. So get your hands up off my child. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, sing a song. Then he said in verse number 3 of Psalm 96, declare his glory among the nations. Now this was particularly here written for Israel. So Israel had a responsibility to declare the glory of God among all the nations, because all the other nations, they were looking at Israel, because Israel said that God was their God, and all the other nations had them little g gods. But we got the big G, glory. We got the capital G God. We got the God of gods. So since we have the God of God's, he said in verse 3, declare his glory among the nations. Don't you dare keep it to yourself. When God comes through like he said he would, when God blesses you, when God brings victory in that situation, when God brings about the healing, when God brings about the deliverance that is ours because we're in Christ Jesus, don't you dare close your mouth and sit there with your arms folded. God said, declare it to the nations. Declare it that my God, he has supplied all of my need. My God, he truly is Jehovah Rapha. He shone up healed when he said he would. My God truly is Jehovah Jireh. He did provide. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I put it in the hands of God, and he made it happen. So I will declare this among all the nations, his marvelous work. God done did some marvelous things for me. I don't know about you. I wish I could turn this into a testimony service, but God done did some marvelous things. Look at what God has done for you all through your years, all through our lives. Saved life, unsaved life. Surely God has done some marvelous things. Tell how God worked out situations when we didn't think it was no way. God said, don't keep that to yourself. People need to hear, because people's faith is dwindling. They're putting their faith in man. They're putting their faith in governments. They're putting their faith in institutions. But our faith is in God alone. And when God has done some marvelous works, he said, tell everybody. Tell somebody what God has done. Tell somebody how God healed my wife. Way back, we was at Cigna, and they was going to do some surgery, and they wanted to take her in right then. But we said, no, we want to pray about it. It was a Friday. We want to pray about it. I believe it was a Friday so many years ago. So we went, and we prayed. Of course, she had x-rays, and they said, oh, we got to do the surgery. Doctor was kind of nervous. But we said, no, let's wait. We were just newly saved. We believed everything y'all told us. Glory. Hallelujah. And we came to church, and we got prayer, and we went to the doctor. We had to keep the appointment, and the doctor said, well, let me just take one more x-ray. Woo! When we took the x-ray, doctor said, uh-oh, ain't nothing there. Glory. No surgery needed. Baby saints. A baby saint is powerful, because a baby saint will believe God, because we ain't got nothing else but God. Woo, that's why God said you got to enter into the kingdom of God like a baby. A baby don't question. A baby just believe. And that's what we did. We stood on prayer. We didn't understand everything about the Bible, but we stood on prayer. And God excused her from that surgery. Same God then, same God now. Glory. Hallelujah. So I can sing. We can sing. Glory. A new song. I'm getting a little excited here. I feel like saying I might write a song this evening. Glory. Hallelujah. God works with me like that sometimes. And if you let him, he'll work with you like that too. Because he sings over us. Just got to have an ear to hear what God has to say. Declare his glory. I might not get to that scripture, but we're getting there eventually. Glory. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Ooh, yes, he is. He is to be reverently feared and worshipped above all so-called gods. For all the gods, I'm in verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are lifeless idols. How in the world are you going to pray to a piece of wood? Glory. Piece of carved up wood. Piece of polished wood. If times get hard, you're going to chop that wood up and put it in the fireplace. Glory. Hallelujah. How you gonna pray to some marble that you can use for a paperweight? Glory, it can't move nowhere unless you put your hands on it and move it. All the gods of the nations are lifeless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ooh, yes, he did. We looked at the history there in Genesis, didn't we? Just for a brief moment. So he says, honor and majesty are before him, before the Lord. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. There's strength in the sanctuary of God. There's beauty in the sanctuary of God. Why? Because when we get in here and when we see what God has done to each of all of our lives, there's some beauty to behold. Because if you would have knew us when, glory, just leave it right there. If you would have knew us when, it wouldn't be no beauty in the sanctuary. But what a change has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. My sins, which were many, are all washed away. So when your sins is washed away, then the beauty of God can radiate on your person. Glory, hallelujah. When God who blessed us with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, then he beautifies us from the inside out. Ooh, glory. God will make, guess what God's doing? He's making us look like him. Oh, glory. We're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. God's working on us from the inside out. And I'm glad he's on the inside, because if he was on the outside, some of us could brush him off when we wanted to. But he's on the inside. We can't brush this off. Glory. So let God work in us. It is God. Let him work. Let him work. Let him work in you, both to work and to will of his good pleasure. God's at work. Oh, God don't never take a break, y'all. Even when we sleep, God's working. Yeah, God's working, and he knows what he's doing. He's the project manager of our life. He's the foreman of our life. Glory, hallelujah. He laid out the plans that there they are in the 66 books, a 66-book schematic of how our life is supposed to be built up. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So there's the blueprint for our life. God's doing the work if we allow him. Whatever you do, don't go on strike. Don't pick at God. When God wants to bring, I don't know where I'm going, but God knows. When God wants to bring something in your life, don't pick it. Don't protest. When God wants to eliminate something out of your life, don't pick it and don't protest. Why? Because we know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So if God says that some things in your life got to go, don't protest. If God says you need to add some things in your life, don't pick at God and protest and pout like a spoiled child. But say, Lord, whatever you want. That's what we said. That's what we said when we got the Holy Ghost. We said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Wherever you want me to say, I'll say it. And God saw the intent and the sincerity of our hearts. filled us with the precious Holy Ghost. And dare we now have the audacity to pick it. God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. God, listen, don't mess with God. Let God do what he wants to do. He knows what's best for all of us. And his commandments are not grievous. God knows what he's doing. He's God. We're not. If we can figure everything out, we'd be God. I don't care how much PhDs and whatever alphabet soup you got behind your name. God's God. All right, let me, I don't know where that one, that wasn't in the notes. But it's good for us to take note. All right. Okay, but now, I want to get to a point, and here's the point of when we started, we talked about how the elements can praise God. Mm-hmm. How the trees, the birds, the sea, mountains, the wind can praise God. And even we humans, by way of observation, we can praise God. When we look and behold the beauty and the majesty of what God has created, when we wonder how the things that he has created in nature, how certain things work, how salmon know how to swim upstream, things like that. You know, those little intricate things that God made. There are many, many organisms that live in the sea or live in the ocean that we still haven't discovered yet. There's some things that were discovered in those Greek islands that had been hidden to us, but God had placed them there from the very foundation of the world, and we are still, mankind, we're still discovering things that God had placed out there. They just discoveries for us, but not for God. So when we behold the creation, when we behold how the elements praise God, then it's a possibility for us as humans, by what we observe, to praise God. Because we can see the beauty of his majesty, right? And there may be times when we hear what God has done for an individual or a group of individuals. And then we receive not only an observation to praise God, we receive inspiration to praise God by hearing what God has done for somebody else. Then that causes an inspiration that goes further than our observation to praise God, right? But we're talking about worship the King. So how are we going to make a move? Praise is uniquely different from worship. You can praise off of observation. You can praise off of inspiration. You can even praise off of invitation. Because when the praise leader comes, she invites us to praise. So these are several elements that can produce praise. Observation, inspiration, an invitation. But worship hits another level. Worship comes from a relation. Worship comes from a relation. What do you mean? God has declared in John 4 that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you can't worship God on observation. You can't worship God on inspiration. Now, praise will get you there. You can't worship God on invitation. But you have to be in relation with God to worship him. You got to be in relationship with him to worship him. So if you're in relation with God, then the new song will come. The new song will come. I got to look back for a moment at God's people, our brothers, the children of Israel, when God did what he said he was going to do after the passing of the time that God allowed. When God got ready to deliver Israel, he did it with a strong hand. He showed them 10 plagues on Pharaoh in Egypt. Then God said, all right, we're moving. I'm paraphrasing, but let me get some scripture. Exodus chapter 15. After God delivered. See, when you've been delivered by God, oh, you're going to sing something. You're going to sing something. When you get delivered like they got delivered, you might be singing off key, but you're going to sing something. It might not have a backbeat, or it might not have a good bass line, but you're going to sing something. When you get delivered like they got delivered. Exodus chapter number 1. I'm sorry, chapter number 15, verse number 1. I like this. It said, then Moses and the Israelites. So the leader was singing as well as the congregation. Glory, hallelujah. Said, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. They didn't care about who was looking. They were singing this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, or its chariots, has he thrown into the sea. See, that was a deliverance that only God can bring forth. And when God delivered them, Moses didn't care that he was a leader and there was over a million people. Moses said, no, I'm going to sing this with them. Listen, I'm waiting. And I'm anticipating the time when God breaks through and deliver those that have been on our prayer list, those that we're lifting up in prayer. And when God delivers, you ain't going to have to tell me to sing. All you're going to have to do is tell me that God delivered. When God heals, when God restores, when God recovers, when God sets free, when God brings back relationships back the way they're supposed to be, all you got to do is tell me about it, because God already said declare his works. So when you tell me about it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be some songs jumping off in here. It's going to be some songs unto the Lord. It's going to be some songs that we're going to sing. We might have to write them down, but we're just going to sing. We can just sing mighty. We can sing mighty for an hour. Glory, hallelujah. We sing mighty for an hour. We can sing he did it for an hour. We can sing thank God for an hour. Mighty God, thank God he did it. There's a verse right there. When he delivers your child off of drugs, when he delivers your child off them corners, when he delivers your husband from pornography, when he delivers whatever he delivers, we can sing delivered. He did it again. God did it again. God, it took him some time, but he came on time. Here comes some songs to God. Here comes some praises to God. So they sang. They sang, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, or his chariots, he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. See, they were singing this to God. The Lord's my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. When God fills our children and our grandchildren and our spouses with the Holy Ghost, we can sing, the Lord has become their salvation. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our shield. The Lord is our buckler. Then we can sing, the Lord's my strength and my song. That's what they sang. And he has become my salvation. This is my God. Glory. Hallelujah. And I will praise him, my Father's God. And I will exalt him. Woo! Wouldn't it be wonderful when God starts filling our children and our grandchildren? Glory. Hallelujah. With the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, that one of our babies gets up and sings and testifies, this is God, the God of my father and the God of my mother. That would just blow our minds. We can go up in a shout of rejoice, because God can do that. If he did it then, he showed up, can do it now. We just got to believe him that way and depend on him that way. A part of the problem in 2017 is that we got so many other things that we think we can depend on. We can touch this, and we can reach that, and we can touch this, and we can coordinate that. But we need to put those things aside and focus on God. Focus on the one who wrought our salvation. Focus on the one who spoke everything to existence. My hope is in the Lord. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'm wholly leaning on Jesus' name. I can't count on the flesh. I can't count on my own flesh. I surely can't count on your flesh, and you shouldn't count on me. But all of us can put our hope, all of us can put our trust in God, our salvation, in God, our rock. And since we are in real relationship with him, then our praise switches. I don't know when it does, but there's something that happens when we get together and praise God with sincerity and praise God with truth, and we excuse and we exit and vacate from our minds all the things that has worried us all through the week, and we concentrate on God. We're gathered together in one accord, in one place, in one mind, with one purpose, to give God the praise that is due his name. And those of us who've been blessed to receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, somewhere along the line, in the atmosphere of real, genuine praise, there's a shift, I believe, that will happen, because we are all in relationship with God. And since we're in divine relationship with God, as we offer up praise, sincere praise, something happens. Our praise, now everybody can't go there. Everybody can't go there. That's why you have some spectators. But we are the participators who participate, because we are in a relationship with God. And when the praise gets to an optimum level, and God is at the controls, glory, hallelujah. And when God sees and receives the praise, God, I can imagine God saying, wait a minute, oh, they done switched up. They done went from praise to worship. They done entered, oh, glory, they done entered into the Holy of Holies that only the high priest could go in. God said, we're a kingdom of priests. We're a royal priesthood. So because we got Jesus in us, we can go individually and corporately into the Holy of Holies and worship God. So our praise gets us through the outer court. Our praise gets us into the inner court. And our praise gets us past the brazen altar. Our praise gets us back, gets us past all those things. And we come boldly now, because we're in a mode of worship. And we bow before the King. Yes, we're physically here in this building, but we by faith have entered into the Holy of Holies before our great
God before our great King, and because of the relationship, and because God recognizes himself, his spirit in us, then we can come boldly before the throne of grace and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's where I was trying to get to all along. But it takes relationship in order for you to worship God like that. If you don't have a real relationship with God, you can't worship him like that. But I got some good news for you. Glory, hallelujah. You can get there right now. All it takes is the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost before you get in the water. Oh, yes, you can. I got some Bible for that. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, Peter was preaching to Cornelius' house. They hadn't got baptized yet. He was preaching to them, and as Peter preached the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard it. What do you mean? Yes, God filled them with the Holy Ghost while they was listening to the preacher. God, here's my prayer. Fill somebody that's listening with their heart, not just with their ears. Glory, hallelujah. The same God that filled Cornelius and his house can fill somebody right now with the Holy Ghost. If you believe in the word of God, listen, God, he accepts praise because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained praise, right? Yeah, but God wants you to move from praise and wants you to move into worship. But in order for you to move into worship, you got to move into God and let God move into you. Glory, hallelujah. What do you mean? You got to be filled with his spirit. Yes, you do. You need the Holy Ghost. Yes, you do. You can't live right without it. You can't make it to heaven without it. How you gonna worship a holy God without the Holy Ghost? Don't make no kind of sense, no kind of way. But God, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, guess what God did before your mama met your daddy? Guess what God did before you even thought of? He sent the Holy Ghost back in the earth before we got here. The Holy Ghost is waiting on somebody today. The Holy Ghost is like, and the Holy Ghost is God. And God's like, look, I've been here. And you just getting here. How old are you? Well, I'm 35. God said 35. I done sent my spirit back on the day of Pentecost. 35 ain't nothing to God. Well, I'm a senior. Senior what? God said I sent the Holy Ghost back on the day of Pentecost over 2,000 years ago. You ain't more senior than that. God said you're breathing? Yeah. Then I sent the Holy Ghost back for you. Well, I'm just a kid. A kid. God said, listen, I call the young because they're strong. God said, I can fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. You want to be a worshiper? God created us to worship him. That's why you're here. You ain't got to waste your time and blow your own mind searching, trying to find out why I'm here. I'll tell you why you're here. You ain't got to go. I'm going to just tell you why you're here. You're here. You were created to give God praise. You were created to worship God. That's why he made you. It ain't about your natural mama. It ain't about your natural daddy. God bless them all. But the real reason that you're here is to worship God. You were created. Didn't we say that God has some paths and some predestined plans mapped out for your life? God got some great things for y'all to do, but you got to get on the path. He got great things for all of us to do. But you over here, you kicking it, you chilling, you all right, you all right? No, you ain't. You lying to yourself. You ain't all right. God wants you on his path. He wants you on his path. You got to be in relationship with him. And when you're in true relationship with him, by the infilling of his spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, same one God. So don't get it twisted. Don't get scared. Same God. But you need him on the inside. You need him. You need him. The
The Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells, if it lives in you, it shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal body. See, you need to get the quickening now. Because if you can take this quickening to the grave, ooh, glory. You can take this quickening to the grave, and they can cry and boo-hoo and snot over a box with a shell of who you are in it. But if you take the quickening to the grave, here's a guarantee from God. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, the one who have died with the quickening in them, the one who have died but had received the Holy Ghost before their natural life was over, God said, they're going to get up first. Imagine the sight of an employee at Forest Lawn. Imagine the sight, think about this, of an employee at Inglewood Mortuary Cemetery. Imagine the sight of employees all over the world when the trump sounds and the dead, ooh, I bet you they'll drop their rakes, their shovels, and would to God that some of them have the quickening, because they'll get up too, but the dead gonna get up first. And those of us who are alive and remain, glory, glory. Those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Words of comfort. If you want to worship, you need to be in relationship. You can praise. Praise is good. I ain't knocking praise because we need it. But if you want to worship, you got to be in relationship. And then you have the opportunity to get to the verse that we still didn't get to yet. But you have the opportunity to worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness. You'll be able to receive and observe and enjoy the beauty of holiness after you're in a beautiful relationship with God by receiving his Spirit. Amen? I believe that is a concept of biblical holiness. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. Amen? If you're here this morning, I'm going to stop there. You all been overly patient, and I appreciate it. But if you're here this morning and you're not in real relationship with Jesus, you're not in real relationship with him, yeah, you're a praiser. We're not saying that you don't know anything about God. We're not saying